Christ is risen.
He is risen.
During the hymn, I wrote out about 9 more stanzas to that hymn. If the ushers would please pass those out, we'll sing those now. Great hymn, good hymn about Thomas. Dear Christian friends, before there was Galileo, there was Gamaliel. Gamaliel was a famous rabbi in the first century AD, a man held in high honor by all the people, a great teacher of the law, someone that St. Paul had studied under before he was converted to Christianity. Some believe that Gamaliel secretly converted to Christianity. Others think that Gamaliel died an unbelieving Pharisee. For the answer, you'll have to ask a more learned historian, because I don't know the answer. However, maybe perhaps in heaven one day we will know. Gamaliel will either be with us in heaven, singing the praises of him who rose from the dead and showed his hands and his feet to Thomas, the apostles, or he'll be in that place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Pharisees, who trusted in the law, like Gamaliel, a Pharisee, Pharisees like him, who trust in the law, will be sorely mistaken. And so will all the people of the world today who trust in their own works of the law for salvation. Salvation doesn't come through the law. It doesn't come through it. The law is good if you can keep it. But for the 99.999% of the people who can't, we must look to him who can. The one who fulfilled the law for us perfectly. The one who lived the perfect life, died, and rose again. The one who fulfilled all things is victorious and triumphant here on Easter. We can't master the law, but Jesus can. And Jesus did. We can't satisfy the law's demands, but Jesus did. And now, for the one who does not work, but trusts in him who saves us by his grace, that one will be saved. The problem facing the Sanhedrin today in the text is, what do we do with all these Christians who are preaching Jesus risen from the dead? What should we do with them? One option, one solution that seemed to have widespread support was to kill the Christians. Let's kill them. They were just about to do it. However, Gamaliel stopped them, and he gave his opinion, a little bit different opinion than they had. He had some advice for his Jews of the Sanhedrin. He said, don't kill the Christians, led by Peter. Don't kill them, was his advice, which was consistent with the law of the Old Testament, which he knew very well, teacher of the law. Don't kill. That's the fifth commandment. You shall not kill. When you get angry with someone, the law teaches you to slow down, step back, don't act in haste, walk away if you need to, but don't kill. Killing solves no problems. In fact, it creates its own. We can even learn here, us as Christians, you know, that also we are not to kill people who have other faiths. For example, if Gamaliel wasn't a Christian, if he was still a Jew, and he was encouraging them not to kill the Christians, may we likewise learn from God's word that we are not to kill other people who believe differently. God gives us a conscience. He allows us to believe as we believe. He doesn't force us to believe, and neither does he want us to kill others of other faiths. Rather, we, like the apostles, and as Pastor Buescher said earlier, we're supposed to preach and teach Jesus, the life. We're not to kill them. We're to show them the life, to share him who is the one who conquered death, the one who rose again and showed his victorious wounds for us. Even at risk of our own persecution that the disciples endured, even at the risk of our own death, we do not waver from our conviction that Jesus is Christ and Lord. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. If some authority on earth tells us to stop preaching about Easter, stop preaching Jesus, just like they did to the apostles, we do it anyway, just as they did. Ironically, I just received an email this past week from a student at UT doing some project for a class, and they asked me this question. They said, is there any time when religious law trumps civil law? And I said, yes, of course. God's law, summarized in the Ten Commandments, is the foundation and the judge of all other moral codes and standards for society. If ever there's a contradiction between God's law and civil law, we must do as the apostles said, just in Acts 5:29. We must obey God rather than men. For example, if a government official says, it's okay for me to steal from my parents, well, I must obey God's law, not their law. We are to love and honor our parents, not to steal or anger them. If the government says, it's okay to kill even the unborn, well, we obey God's law. There's a greater law, a law above the law that judges and looks at all other laws. We're to preserve and protect God's gift of life, even in a mother's womb. If a government official says, you must not preach and teach Jesus, then we must obey God's law, or be ready to go to jail, or whatever the consequence, for we will not deny him who has done us no wrong. In fact, he has declared us to be righteous. So why would we deny him? Acts 5:29 gives us a principle to live by. We must obey God rather than men. Now, indeed, whenever we can obey an official of the law, we ought to. We're bound to. In fact, God has established every authority that there is on earth. We say that there are two kingdoms, the kingdom of power, in which God establishes rulers and governments for society, for the good, for the sake of order, to punish evildoers. God is the king over that kingdom. And also God has established the kingdom of grace, the kingdom of forgiveness and peace. That's where he's established the church. That's where we give out the forgiveness of sins. God forgives and forgives and forgives and forgets because of his son and his sacrifice, because he's fulfilled the law for us, because he has risen and he's triumphed over sin and death, and he gives us out graciously, freely. He's the king of both kingdoms, and he can do whatever he wants in every kingdom, whatever one that he wants to in. And we, as a church, live in that right-hand kingdom, and we proclaim with power the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and his majesty. If ever a ruler or a government tries to trump God's truth, then we humbly stick to the greater rule, to God's, and trust that God will work good no matter the circumstance, no matter the trial or persecution, just as Jesus was tried and persecuted, and he worked ultimate good. Thankfully, Gamaliel's advice was heeded for a time. The Sanhedrin begrudgingly compromised with Gamaliel. Rather than kill the disciples, who were a nuisance and seemingly rebellious, they did the next worst thing, which was to beat them thoroughly before they let them go. The disciples' response was just amazing. After taking a beating and receiving this dishonor in Jesus' name, they rejoiced. They praised God. Most people today would probably cry foul. They'd probably get a lawyer, probably sue. Or maybe they would have said, I'm out of here. I'm going to find a different country to live in, one that doesn't have all these godless unbelievers. But the disciples saw this awful deed done unto them in the best possible light. They realized that they were being conformed to the image of Christ, who suffered, who died, and he rose again. Wounded and wearied, but not yet gone and glorified, Jesus had taught them beforehand to suffer all, even death, and that through enduring persecution in his name, they would bring honor and glory to God and bring others closer to the faith. It's not easy to love your enemies. It's not easy to love those like Thomas who doubt you. It's not easy to love those who persecute you and say all kinds of lies and false things about you, perhaps even beat you. But the great message of Easter is that Jesus himself did all that. And he rose, as Pastor said, to establish peace. Peace with God has been won. Peace is shown in his wounded hands and in his feet and his side. Peace with God. He didn't come back with a machine gun and say, I'm going to get you guys now. He came back showing his wounds, saying, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I here now bring you peace. Peace, just like we sing at Christmas time. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Now at Easter, peace, peace, peace to you. Easter can be a very troubling time for lots of things going on, lots of things going on in the world. May we come to church, may we hear and receive peace from Jesus. Peace to those who are near, and peace to those who are far off. The disciples, they were the near ones. They're near to Jesus. The Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, they were the ones who were far off. Yet the message of peace was for both. Even God's enemies near to hear of Christ Jesus and why he came. To win back creatures for God through faith in believing. To transform us back into those who truly love and trust in God above all things. To those who really trust God and believe and look to their neighbor to help them and receive the grace of God for all the help we need in this world. Finally today, we should note Gamaliel's wager in the text. Gamaliel made a little wager in the text. Did you hear it? A marvelous wager that I think that I'd like to know what Gamaliel would think about if he were still alive today. And that's this. He said, "Men of Israel, if this plan or undertaking is of man, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overcome them. You might even be found opposing God." In other words, if Christianity is man's creation, if it's a myth, it will die out. But if Christianity is of God, then no one will be able to stop it. Well, here we stand today, almost 2,000 years later, and the fact of Jesus' resurrection is still proclaimed among us. And we, just like the Energizer Bunny, we still keep going. Even after all the persecution, all the suffering, the death of the apostles, the martyrs of the faith, we still thrive in the hope of Jesus. What would Gamaliel say today? Thomas the doubter got the evidence that he wanted on the eighth day after Jesus rose from the grave. He got to put his finger into his side and his hands. Jesus said, "Stop doubting and believe." But did Gamaliel have a time frame in mind before he would agree that Christianity is of God? How many years will it take? How many years will it take for the fence-sitters of the world to believe that Jesus is the Christ and that there is salvation in no one else? For there is no other name given under heaven among men by which we must be saved. The Easter resurrection we rejoice in is of God, not of man. We couldn't make this up, and we would be hard-pressed to believe it unless we saw it, just like Thomas. Thomas saw and believed, and Jesus said to him, "Have you believed in me because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." And so we hang our hat on that, God's Word, having those with the hope that we hear in the Word of God. With God, all things are possible, even victory in apparent weakness. Praise be to God who has revealed to us this victory through our risen Lord Jesus Christ. He is triumphant. He is risen. Amen.